Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PZ. It is Saturday, the 9th of April, Anno Domini 2011, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, apparently we're into the third of our two-hour segment.
Yeah, welcome back. It's been a six-day break.
Welcome back from 6 days ago. We want to thank each and every one of you who has so far become a member. But we are still in a pledge drive. We only need $17,000 today, so start ringing that phone. You know the numbers. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. And you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And we got to tell folks, you know, they keep saying, when's this pledge drive going to be over with? As soon as we raise the rest of the money.
You only need $17,000. Yeah, 18, something
around 17,000. You know, just around that. But the sooner we raise it, the sooner we don't have to bug you,
right,
folks.
So, all of you internet millionaires who are listening to us out there, make a call for Pete's sake. Dig into your pockets.
Well,
you say this station is completely supported by member pledges. So if we don't get the money, we'll have to go off the air.
Somebody said to me at Market this morning. I was at Flower City Coffee Company at Market this morning. And where you get great coffee. And somebody said to me, well, luckily they averted this government shutdown. You guys will get your money at the station. I said, hey, whoa, we don't get any government money, national money, state money, city money, county money, local money.
Just
we get it all from human beings, all from our listeners, not from we get nothing from anybody else. It all comes in pledges. And I realize everybody thinks that they can't afford anything nowadays, but if you listen to the station, pony up a couple of bucks, you know what I'm saying?
There is no wrong dollar amount.
I keep saying to everybody...
Remember some of the other pledge drives we used to do where they wouldn't accept some
amounts? Yeah, exactly. We don't care.
And we spread it over time. Yep. I mean, the other thing is it's a tax write-off because we are a nonprofit.
Right.
We is solely, nonprofit. We don't get the grants and everything else like some of the other stations out there that are plead for money and all that other stuff. We are here just because of you folks. And the other thing that is included, which some of these others don't have, is the membership card. And with the membership card, you can check out the various sites and say, oh, one of them just happens to be on there is, Enright and Deary PC.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and hey, you go there and you come in to get your computer repaired, you show the card, we give you a discount. And there's a host of other businesses, and you can go to the jazz901.org website and check them out. So, you know, you're listening to great jazz and programs like this. We know you folks are out there because, heck, just on the web feed, we're already up to 42 listeners just on the web, along with the folks that... go through the stream on us.
About half a dozen watching on the video stream.
Yeah, there's a video stream out there. So we know you folks are out there, you know, and we only come to you twice a year. So please, pick up the phones and dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. I should know those by heart.
You should know those by heart, so should I. But you know what? We don't want to come here week after week and beg. And we know that Rob Linton doesn't want to come here week after week and beg. The minute we hit that $50,000.
We're done.
And really, it's only $50,000. We need another $18,725, as it turns out. I was a little low.
Well, the polka guys did
generosity.
A little. They did pretty decent again. You know, they even shared some of their pledges with us.
I know.
One of their listeners,
God bless that,
felt
person
so bad for us. They said, tell you what, I feel really bad for Nick and the crew there that they got to grovel so much. And, you know, keep saying that they don't beat you. They even split half of their pledge with us. That was awful nice of Ray and Al because, you know, we're all family here. And, you know, it's great.
So far, our only pledge came from
Polka.
The Polka Show.
Yeah.
So, please give us a call. We know, everybody knows. But the reality is that we need your support. We need it. We're here begging. We're not just saying, oh yeah, throw us some money. We need your support to keep this station on the air. And the way that we, the world is a cruel place. The way you pick the shows that stay or the shows that pay. So please give us a call. You know that you can pledge in any amount, but think about it this way. I say this every year. Total up all the money you've spent on your computer. The hardware, the software, the repairs, the everything that you've done. Send us 1%. Give us a call and pledge 1%. Now, that's not a lot of money. Mm-mm. When you think about what you've spent already on your computer, we're asking for 1%. So please give us that call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. And those of you who are listening to the podcast, I'm looking at you folks in Germany and Norway and France. You can also give us a call toll-free anytime during the week. Just tell them it's for Soundbites, 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online no matter where you are in the known universe at jazz901.org. And again, in the comments field, please tell them it's for Soundbites.
You know, we still do have that one offer. As a matter of fact, I got one client that's contemplating it.
$250.
I sent her the Rumball recipe.
Yeah.
She said she'll try that out and then maybe come call back with the pledge. But what I'm talking about, folks, is the $1,000 level. I know you go, and gasp for air, you know, holding your breath and everything else. But here's what. With the $1,000 level, one, you can, take that as a tax write-off, spread it over 12 months. It's really not that much. But all the cool gifts that you throw, Rob's going to throw in. You can also be a DJ for a shift. In other words, if you wanted to come on, say, my show Thursday nights from 6 to 9, you could come on. And Rob said it's okay. You can come in and pick out any music in the library. Any music that's in there, you can play. You'll have full control. We'll have a board op here that would then, play whatever tunes you want. You can get on the air, announce the songs and all this. We'll work with you. So if you got one of those closet DJs that wanted to always be on there, and, there's Mother's Day coming up next month. The month after that is Father's Day. So if you were always looking for a perfect gift to give, all the kids could just chip in, family members, and make that dream come true. Because, copy that, burn it off to a CD or whatever so you got a record of it. But then we'll also throw in, deal keeps getting bigger.
There's more.
Yes, we'll even throw in that you can come here on the Soundbites show and be part of this hilarious act that goes on every Saturday from 12 to 2. But we're still not done.
If you call right now,
you can even get a date with Rob Litton.
All that for a mere
$1,000. If you wanted to pledge $1,000, we'll even take $990, and you can skip the date with Rob Litton.
Yeah,
we'll give you $10 off. But either way, if you would, please pick up the phones and dial.
Shouldn't it be the other way? You can pay more to not date Rob Litton?
That's true. $950.
Well, $1,100 and you don't have to date
there
Rob.
What the heck? And Rob will, gladly do that for us. I know that. Of course, my phone isn't ringing yet.
So yeah, exactly.
Maybe he's not listening.
He's probably catching up on his sleep so he can go on his next cruise.
Beauty sleep? There's not enough hours in the day.
Not enough hours in the day. All right. Anyways. I think we've got somebody on the line.
Yes.
All right, let's do that before we do the news. Our first caller is our friend Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hello, gentlemen, and yes, I am a member.
Excellent.
I wish I could afford $1,000 because I'd love to sit with you guys, but I can't.
I understand that.
So I got a question for Steve. Steve, on my iTunes account, maybe a couple years ago, I downloaded a whole bunch of stuff. I've got it backed up and all that. Every time I get something new, I download it. I bring up all the stuff from 3 years ago. How do I get rid of that permanently? I delete it all, and then every time I go to download, it shows up again.
There is a purchased playlist built into iTunes that shows you all of the music you've purchased.
Yeah, I know.
And that's part of iTunes.
So I can't get rid of it.
Well, you can hide that list in the preferences.
Oh, I can?
Let me see if it can turn off purchased. Maybe not. Store. Always check for downloads. Maybe you can't turn off that purchase list. So you can ignore. You can ignore the list of things you've purchased.
Okay, now where... Because I went through that whole thing and I didn't see anything. I went through that whole thing. So where is that located, if you don't mind?
On the left-hand side of the iTunes window, under Store, there's a purchased list that shows you all the things you've purchased.
Right.
Right, just ignore it.
Oh, okay.
There is a delete command. I don't want to do it on my computer because I don't want to delete my purchased music.
Yeah, but that may work. I buy things, and I've bought so much that, you know, I had to scroll and scroll and scroll to see the new stuff.
Well,
I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is ridiculous.
Sort by date.
Oh.
So the newest stuff you bought is either at the top or bottom, depending on how you sort it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, so I could... Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can sort by any of the columns just by clicking on that column.
Okay, now I have a comment for all you people out there. Come on, I learned how to use my computer using sound bites. You know, I'm a nerd with that. I've learned a lot of stuff. Get off your you-know-what and pledge.
God love you, Linda. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
You're very welcome.
Okay, bye.
There you are, ladies and gentlemen, another unsolicited testimonial.
And I do have a rant. For the second hour.
He does have a rant for the second hour, but we need pledges.
Yep.
We need pledges. And I'll do the news in a second, but please remember, the number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And let me do the news here for a moment. On March 31st... Epsilon, a marketing firm whose services include permission-based email marketing and database hosting, began notifying its customers of potential data exposure thanks to an unauthorized entry into Epsilon's email system. According to Epsilon, the information comprised was limited to email addresses and/or customer names only, and no other personal identifiable information associated with those names was at risk. Just your name and email address. Great, thanks. One of Epsilon's clients, grocery chain The Kroger Company, subsequently notified its customers that the database had been breached and urged customers to be wary of email from senders they did not know. Later, it was revealed that J.P. Morgan Chase, Capital One, Marriott Rewards, McKinsey Quarterly, U.S. Bank, Citibank, or just City, as they call themselves now, Ritz-Carlton Rewards, Brookstone, Walgreens, the College Board, and the Home Shopping Network had joined the ranks. Security Week notes that while the information harvested may seem like a minor threat, after all, it's just email addresses, targeted phishing messages to those customers are likely to yield a higher hit rate than blind spamming campaigns. In other words, people are much more likely to click on email or links within an email that addresses them by name and purports to be from some place where they actually do business. Then they are to click on an email address that addresses them as the big guy or purports to be from a male growth company. And if you're the big guy, you don't need them. Never mind. In some cases, more than just email addresses and names were disclosed. Ritz-Carlton Rewards had member rewards points disclosed along with names and email addresses. This could give scammers more leverage when they attempted a targeted campaign. Epsilon has the world's largest email marketing service. It sends more than 40 billion, that's billion with a B, 40 billion emails a year, and manages customer databases from 2,500 clients. Other Epsilon clients who have not yet been named in the email breach include Best Buy, TIAA, Kref, and Staples. If you subscribe to email marketing from any of these brands, never fear, you're in no danger as long as you keep your eye out for email from senders you don't know or don't send any sensitive information such as credit card or banking info to companies via email. It's always a good idea not to open any attachments unless you personally know who's sending you the email and what the attachment is. So our question to you on our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is did you get hit by the Epsilon breach? The choices are, yes, I got a notification from Epsilon that my data had been stolen. No, I've heard nothing, even though I'm a customer of one or more of those places. And who cares? As long as I'm a member of the Jazz 90.1 family. And so far, we've had 41 responses. So far, 49% of you don't care as long as you're a member of the Jazz 90.1 family. 34% of you have gotten a notification from Epsilon, and 17% haven't. And of course, I know you've got way more to say about this. So we ask that you then take a look at the little yellow box underneath the poll. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It'll take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And the question, of course, is if you got hit by the Epsilon breach, which company or companies were you doing business with? And, of course, that's our question to you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And those are also, surprisingly, the numbers at which you can pledge, along with jazz901.org. We would like to thank a renewing member, Marsha. A very generous pledge. Do we announce the pledges on the air? Do we announce the number?
Not unless they give us permission.
Yeah, all right. And we will not announce the number, but Marsha, bless you and thank you so much for your pledge. We very much appreciate it. Thank you. Welcome. You're a renewing member, so you've already been a member of the family, and we thank you so much for that. We appreciate it very, very much. We're going to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you, and particularly those of you who are members of the family, who gave us a call at 585-966-JAZZ or toll-free 1-800-790-0415 or pledged securely online at jazz901.org and became a member of member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Please help us out. We are in the middle of a pledge drive.
And the offer still stands for that date with Rob.
It's $1,000. For $1,000, yep. You get the membership card, which is good at so many great places.
Yeah.
A bunch of CDs, clothing, whatever that is on that sheet.
$1,100 to get out of the date.
Well, hold on, we aren't there yet. Membership, Soundbites shirt, a Soundbites polo shirt, a Soundbites T-shirt, a Jazz 90.1 Navy baseball cap, And on top of that, we have some special items where Dave will give you for $1,000. It's all for $1,000. Dave will give you the rum ball recipe. You get to be a DJ for a shift and pick the music you play on the air. We will have you in as a special guest here in the studio for Sound Bites. And you can go on a date with Rob Linton. Now, for $1,100, you get all of that and you don't have to go on the date. So I think that's a hell of a deal right there. And all you have to do is give us a call and pledge. Now you can also...
I just informed him.
Yep. You can also pledge at less than $1,000. We will also accept that. And what we'd love to have you do is add up all the money you've spent on all of your computer purchases. Hardware, software, all of it. You can, and even if you like, you can include a month of your broadband service and everything else. A year of your broadband service, because you only pledge once a year.
Maybe
and then send us 1%, just 1% of that. That's all we're asking. If you think that this service has been useful to you, if you think that this show has provided you with any entertainment, at the very least entertainment, and hopefully some computer knowledge, please look into your hearts and become a member of the family. We really do need your help. And we would very, very much appreciate it if you pledge whatever amount you can afford.
You know what else we could do? I just had another brainstorm. Once in a while, I get them. But we could maybe do...
Well, nature abhors a vacuum.
Yeah. Well, do for $750.
Yeah?
This way, they get all the great gifts, they get the tax write-offs, they can spread it over months. But for $750, they can either, you know, go with... still with the date with Rob Litton, that's included. But they can then pick either to do a jazz show or come here on Soundbites. We'll save them...
Save them some money.
$250. You can pick
$250 or $750?
No, $750. It'll save them versus $1,000.
Oh, it saves them $250, yeah.
So for $750, you can pick whether you want to do a jazz show or soundbites. Still go on the date with Rob Linton. If you want to get out of it, it's $800.
Sure. It's cheaper at the $750 level to get out of a date with Rob than it is at the $1,000.
Yep, yep.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, either way, you know, you guys could have a great time. Again, it's a tax write-off. And it's win-win all the way around.
It is. It's win-win.
And you folks got to think out
there. Most importantly, you become a member of the Soundbites family. Yep. Those of you who are not currently members of the family are sitting there going, oh, for God's sake, move on. Move on to something else. You know, it's only because you feel guilty. All the people who are members are going, yeah, give it to them. Make them join the family.
Yeah. That's, sorry. You know, we'd love to be doing nothing else than, you know, talking more and more about computer stuff.
But unfortunately, until we hit the goal, we'll be back here every Saturday asking for it. And we're only $18,000 away.
Yeah. You know, all it takes is a few folks, you know, anteing up right now to just even get us to our goals. So we could even come close to even getting near the polka dots.
Right. And as you'll notice, nobody's calling in. Absolutely nobody's calling in. I know what you people are like. You're just like with shareware. 1% of you actually pay for shareware. We understand that, but we're hoping that you've got a little more in your hearts for sound bites than you do for shareware. And we'd love to have you give us a call. You know the numbers, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. And, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And I will read another news item. Federal prosecutors in New Jersey are investigating whether numerous smartphone applications illegally obtained or transmitted information about their users without proper disclosures. Online music streaming service Pandora, which plans an initial public offering, says in an SEC filing that it has been subpoenaed in an investigation probing information sharing by mobile applications. The criminal investigation is examining whether the app makers fully described to their users the type of data they collected and why they needed the information, such as a user's location or a unique identifier for the phone. Collecting information about a user without proper notice or authorization could violate a federal computer fraud law. Online music service Pandora Media Inc. said Monday it received a subpoena related to a federal grand jury investigation of information sharing practices by smartphone applications. Pandora disclosed the subpoena in a Securities and Exchange Commission filing. The company said it had been informed that it is not a specific target in the investigation. Pandora said it believes similar subpoenas have been issued on an industry-wide basis to the publishers of numerous other smartphone applications. A Pandora spokes individual declined to comment. The Wall Street Journal tested 101 apps and found that 56 of them transmitted the phone's unique device identifier to other companies without users' awareness or consent. 47 apps transmitted the phone's location in some way. 5 sent a user's age, gender, and other personal details to outsiders. Good to know. At the time they were tested, 45 apps didn't provide privacy policies on their websites or inside the apps themselves. In Pandora's case, both the Android and iPhone versions of its app transmitted information about a user's age, gender, and location, as well as unique identifiers for the phone to various advertising networks. Pandora gathers the age and gender information when a user registers for the service. The probe is significant because it involves potentially criminal charges that could be applied to numerous companies. Federal criminal probes of companies for online privacy violations are rare. So our question to you, do you worry about your personal data getting out there for something as simple as a free smartphone app? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or of course toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
It's getting to be, with so many security breaches and data loss and Facebook privacy errors, you know, nothing is private anymore.
That's right. I you know, whenever they ask me for my age or my gender, I'm always, you know, 140 years old, and randomly, I pick male or female, since those are really the only two choices that they put
in. No, there's other.
Sometimes there is. Yeah. And if there is, I pick it.
Just watching an interesting show on Discovery the other day about
I do not want to know. I really
it's a medical condition.
Do not want to know.
Right up there with the solar panel.
Exactly. Oh, and we do have another piece of information we'd like to discuss. As you know, we do Sound Bites in Second Life on Friday nights. And for that, we have, we're there Friday nights. And Friday nights are a little tough in the summer months in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So I've put up a poll.
Now that Dave's got a girlfriend.
Now that Dave's got a girlfriend. or five or 30.
Yeah, we're married. We don't date anymore. Yeah,
Friday nights, I'm sitting around in the house. There's no question of that. But I put up a poll. It's at Steve will put up a hello, a pointer to it. It's a GOO.GL/FB, capital A, capital C, capital E. And it's a poll for the sound bites, in Second Life, what night you would like and what time you would like. So if you would, please take that poll, we would be thrilled. Those of you who are interested in Second Life, as well as those of you who normally attend, I realize Friday nights are bad. So we might, you know, if there's a consensus, we'll look at moving to that night. If there's not a consensus, of course, we won't.
Not Thursday nights.
Well, but that will, yeah, I realize that. I do understand that. But
Wednesdays are out for me.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll figure it out.
Because Thursday nights, I like folks to tune in.
It could be Sunday nights.
Yeah. Thursday nights, though, I'd like folks to definitely consider turning into my show.
Yep.
I'm doing Thursday nights from 6 to 9 right now, at least for the rest of this month and on down the road, July, you know, take it over.
Yeah.
But having a lot of fun, getting a lot of folks calling in there, you know, and great support. And a number of folks, as a matter of fact, we had one lady pledge very well and was glad that Soundbites came on. She's been a jazz member for a long time. And sent me in, because I sent her the rum ball recipe, because she loves sound bites. She goes, she's learned so much, and just like we've said, you know, it's great information and entertainment. That was her biggest thing.
Sure.
Entertainment.
Well, we're nothing if not entertaining.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'll say that for us. So we, and I've already had a couple of people ask me how I did the poll. That's all out of Google. Google does that for you. If you have Google Docs, which are free. You can create polls of all sorts.
I know you wrote it down here, but you should have put Eastern Standard Time on there because people are going to get the wrong time.
I really thought about that, and then I thought, these are computer people who listen to sound bites. They're at least of a certain level of intelligence.
You're probably right, yeah.
I hope so. I hope I'm right.
But you do have to read the question. See, that's the first problem.
Well, that's right. And people don't read. That's exactly right.
It's like, you know, just like the other thing, you know, selective hearing.
Right.
You know, they'll sit there. Well, you said this. No, we didn't.
Yeah. Right.
Didn't even come close. Yes, you did.
I like when we write it down on the piece of paper we give them and they still don't hear us tell them or see it on the paper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the reason that I left it at 6 p.m. Linden time, right, is because we have so many people who listen outside
East
of the
Coast.
United States or outside of the Eastern Eastern time zone. So I set it to be Linden time just the way that Second Life sets it. So we're hoping that you will all log in and click the link that Steve just put up. And take the poll. We would love to have you do that. Probably get more people taking the poll than becoming members, but that's okay too, I suppose.
I used to host a forum on AOL ages ago, and you know, I think it started at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you know, about 11 or 12 Eastern, it really started picking up as all of the people in California just got home from work.
Yeah,
and started getting on. So some nights it'd, you know, be 1 or 2 o'clock before I'd make it to bed.
Yep. It's very tough to do something globally. I taught a class once, a distance learning course.
Mm-hmm.
I had at least one person from every time zone that had land on it.
Yeah.
It was impossible. I had people in China and Japan and all over Europe. And they would find me online at 3 o'clock in the morning, because in those days I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and they'd start texting me about computer questions. And I'm just getting ready to go to bed. Thinking, this is why I am not thinking straight. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yep.
People all over the world. That's why I left it at Linden time.
I used to did a job with a company in San Diego, and it was great because, you know, you didn't have to get to work until noon our time.
Right.
But then you ended up working until midnight our time.
Yeah, and then there's the tech support people.
Yeah.
Who are there all hours of the day and night? You know, if you're doing tech support for a local company like the Time Warner reps and all of that stuff, they're really just doing their time zone. So
that's one thing. Have you ever seen the TV show Outsourced?
Yes,
it's a comedy about a call center in India. And the one nitpick I have with it is it's always during the day in India, which is the middle of the night in most of America.
Yes.
So I guess they have.
I said the same thing about the movie.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they must have hired every Indian actor in Vancouver. Although most of them are British.
Right. Right. Yep. Well, a lot of yep. expat Brits in Canada is mm-hmm. the name of the country. That's exactly right.
Yep.
That's exactly right. So yeah, there's a lot of that going on. So. We got nobody calling in. We got nobody calling in for computers. We got nobody calling in for pledges.
Yeah.
So we're just going to sit here and ramble. That's yeah.
I had a news story I wanted to talk about that you didn't have on your list. Let me bring it back up again.
What?
Apple ordered 12 petabytes of storage from a storage company.
Nice.
That's 12,000 terabytes, 12 million gigabytes.
Yeah, that's a lot of storage.
Yeah.
What are they going to store, do we wonder?
Well, they've been building this data center in North Carolina that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I think it's a million square feet or some ridiculous size now.
Cool.
A lot of theories are it's probably to support the iTunes store for storing the movies and music and whatnot that get sold there. There's a lot of rumors about a possible iTunes streaming service. So if you have purchased music from the store, you can stream it to your device. So the record companies don't get mad about, you know, people streaming stuff they haven't bought.
Well, and we can only hope that they have already made a deal with the record companies, unlike Google.
Yeah. And possibly there's been a lot of rumors that Apple's Mobile Me service might go free. Mobile Me is it's a service from Apple. You get 20 gigabytes of disk space you can use for backup or websites. It integrates into Apple's iPhoto program, so you can click a button and have a photo website very, very easily. There are similar free services from a lot of companies, but they're not as integrated into the Apple OS. And that's sort of been the big bane for a while. There is a service as part of Mobile Me called Find My iPhone that you can register your iPhone, iPad, iOS device. And if you happen to lose it or, you know, leave it behind at a customer, for example, you can go on a computer and it will locate the iPhone based on its last known internet location or GPS location if you have the GPS models. And there have been a lot of stories about people who have found their phones that had been lost or you know, rescued from the laundry bin because it says it's in the house. But there's been stories about people where it's actually been stolen and they've tracked it down and whatnot. That used to be part of the Mobile Me service that you had to pay for. They spun that out to a free service that any iOS device can use.
That's nice.
So being able to have these services at a lower cost or for free, it was only $8 a month, you know, before that, which isn't that much anyway. But 20 gigabytes of disk space is a lot for that amount of money. Most of the free services, I use Dropbox, which is free, but you only get 2 gigs for free.
Right. All right, we are going to take a break. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and we are, as you know, Sound Bites. Please give us a call. Make a pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. You can, of course, pledge securely online at Jazz901. And you can become a member of the family at member-supported Jazz90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Now, remember, we're in a pledge drive. So please give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. But please put in the comment that this is for Sound Bites. And as I've said before, please, all you have to do is total up everything you've spent on your own computer, hardware, software, services, and send us 1%. That's all we're asking for, 1%. Doesn't sound like a lot. We're not asking for 10. We're not asking for 20. We're asking for 1. Now, before we get back to the phones, let me read this news item. The latest mobile phone user survey from market research firm ChangeWave reveals similar levels of overall satisfaction between iPhone 4 users on Verizon versus those on AT&T. However, Verizon iPhone 4 users seem to suffer from dropped calls far less often than their AT&T peers, supporting early anecdotal evidence of Verizon iPhone users. In terms of overall satisfaction, the two iPhones are virtually indistinguishable, according to ChangeWave Vice President of Research Paul Curtin. In March, 82% of Verizon iPhone 4 users reported being very satisfied with the device, while 80% of AT&T iPhone users reported the same. Only 2 percentage points, only 2% reported any dissatisfaction with the device on either carrier. That doesn't mean users on Verizon don't see at least one significant benefit, fewer dropped calls. Verizon iPhone 4 users reported a dropped call rate of 1.8%. AT&T iPhone 4 users, in contrast, had dropped call rate of 4.8%, more than double that of the Verizon iPhone 4 users. That difference isn't limited to iPhones, though. Comparing dropped call rates for all mobile users on all four carriers, Verizon users reported just 1.4% of calls were dropped unexpectedly, while AT&T users reported 4.6%. T-Mobile reported a rate of 2.3%, and Sprint users reported a rate of 2.7%. ChangeWave survey results jibe with the accepted dogma about using an iPhone on Verizon versus AT&T, namely that dropped calls were much less of a problem. If voice calls are a primary reason you use a smartphone, Verizon may be a better choice if you don't want your calls to unexpectedly cut themselves short. An AT&T spokesrobot said that research they conducted suggested its dropped call rate may be much lower than that reported by respondents to ChangeWave survey. Blah, 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 blah. The company reported a 1.41% drop call rate in November of last year from their own survey. Did you switch your iPhone from AT&T to Verizon? Did you notice any differences? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
You know, I was into the Verizon store there not too long ago, and I noticed a lot of their phones, you know, not the low end, you know, they got a few of those, but the middle ones, like what I have, didn't see a lot of those there. They were pushing more the higher end, the Droids and all this other, where you've more or less got to get that whole package of the internet.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
That's what they want to sell you.
And I don't want it. That would cause me to literally go to another carrier. If I'm going to be shoved down my throat and not given an option, and where I could go to AT&T, say, and be given some more options, I would switch.
A lot of the blogs I read and some of the shows I listen to, they're projecting that all cell phones will be smartphones eventually. And we need a new name for the high-end stuff. You know, when we see an iPhone 3GS going for $49, yeah, as that used to be the highest end smartphone there was, and now it's the $50, you know, almost get it for free.
Right.
You know, we need something new name at the higher end.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, though,
Superphone. I think I did see one question for a Superphone.
I think of them as a phone.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, you know, I'm just as technical, you know, and love my gadgets as the next person, you know, but I got to think that there's a great majority out there that still only want to use their phone, and like me, like to use it for a phone and texting, and maybe limited network access. Yeah,
I don't want to make phone calls with my phone. I don't like talking to people.
well, that's where the text.
Maybe because I have to do it so much.
Well, exactly.
Well, that's where I like to text. Yeah. I have gotten to be a very big fan of texting. Like you say, it is quicker and easier. Like right now with my dad in the hospital, I can sit there and do up one email, and I can send it out to all my sisters and brothers. One email, boom, boom, I select them all, and bam, they all know what's going on with him. So that is making it very convenient. I don't need the internet. I don't need to surf that. And, you know, to be sit there and told, well, sorry, if you want our service, you have to get into this data package, whether you're going to use it or not. That's the way of the future. It's like, well, wait a minute. There's still got to be this vast majority that don't want that.
Right.
But they're going
It's only the people your age.
No, I've even met some folks younger
older than him.
Yeah.
No, younger than him.
I barely remember what a phone is for.
Yeah.
No, a number of folks that'll sit there and say,
Don Amici?
Where's the dialer?
You're right. Mabel, get
Listen,
me.
Listen, wait a minute.
Get me Sugar 231.
Have you seen the Bakelite hands-free handset for your cell phone? You put it in the crook of your elbow.
Yeah, right.
You want to hear something? Go ahead. Try talking.
Yeah, I know.
I have control.
I understand you have control.
So,
what I don't like about smartphones is it takes so long to get to a phone call. My old phone, if it rang, I pull it out of my pocket, flip it open, and I'm talking to somebody. Now I got to pull it out. Now I've got two hands, right? I got to pull it out. I got to swipe across it to get to it. Now I can hold it up to my ear. If I want to make a call, I got to unsleep it, swipe it to open it.
Mine, if
that's
somebody.
Because you don't have a smartphone.
Yes,
a
I do.
Well, no, yours is a feature phone.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Unswipe it to get to the thing. If I've made it a thing, I can now push the button, but it's still longer than flip the phone open, hold down the one, I'm talking to my wife.
Okay.
You know, it's just, it takes longer.
Even see, my other phone, so I could sit there if somebody came in. Even,
you don't have a smartphone.
No.
That's the difference. It takes that amount of time.
Cause mine,
so you need the Bluetooth headset where you just push the button and say, call home.
Exactly.
Yep. But no, actually, well, then you get two of them, and then you can turn into a Cyberman.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Help me.
Yeah. All right, our next caller. Do we have time for the call? Sure we do.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Bill from Irondequoit. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
FileSync. What is it exactly, and what's the best way to do it?
What was the first part of your question? That you're, you have to speak up. I can't hear you because it's too low.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. FileSyncing.
FileSyncing. All right. What that is you take your, let's say, your documents folder, right?
Okay.
You take your documents folder and you take all of those documents and you upload them to, say, a storage area on the internet somewhere. It could be Dropbox, could be MobileMe, could be any one of a thousand things. Now you have those documents in two places. But every time you add a new document, you want to be able to take that document and add it to the storage without having to think about it. File syncing programs do that for you.
So the advantage is if you have a desktop and a laptop, or now even, you know, you've got a computer and a smartphone, you want to be able to access your documents in multiple places. So you want to sync them into a service so where whatever device you're on, you can get to your documents.
Right, and that way, no matter where you are, whatever you're doing, you sync up and down, you can keep your documents in order, you can do whatever you got to do. Many of us do this to back up.
Yeah,
because that also
be the way, because then you don't have to copy everything from one to another, just the ones that are new.
Right.
Exactly, and you can do that in the background with various programs, and they work just great.
Now, can it be done just over your network, let's say at home?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to send it to some other service first?
Well, you should send it to some other service first, because then it's backed up off-site.
Okay.
Right? No matter where you are, no matter what machine, if you buy a new machine, let's say your machine dies, all your documents are on it.
There are several syncing programs that just work on a computer over a LAN as well.
Right.
But the real advantage is being able to sync it to the internet so you can get it from anywhere.
Right. You buy a new computer and bang, you download everything, you got it.
What are the security implications so far?
Well, you have to trust who you're sending it to, right?
Sure.
So if you buy Carbonite or you put it up on Google Docs or whatever it is you do with it, you have to trust that vendor. Mm-hmm. If you use a program like Carbonite, you can set it up. I forget if that's the high end or the middle end. You can set it up to be securely
the standard version. It encrypts it before it sends it.
Right.
So it lives on their servers in an encrypted format, and they cannot see it.
Right.
Okay, and so no one else can, obviously, even if they are hacked by whomever.
Right.
Right.
I like that in the cop shows these days. Oh, give me a minute, I'll break the encryption.
Yeah, right.
No, you cannot break the encryption. You might guess the password, but you cannot break the encryption.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so Carbonite is a good one.
Carbonite is
a fee-based service.
Yeah, that's more of a backup program. They're about $5 a month, and that will back up anything on your computer. Something like Dropbox is more intended as a synchronization program between multiple computers. So you have a folder on your computer that you mark as your Dropbox, and anything in that folder shows up on every other computer or smartphone or device that you have with Dropbox installed as well.
Yeah, so emails, maybe your iTunes or that sort of thing?
Generally, that sort of thing, but generally not anything that big. Dropbox gives you 2 gigabytes for free.
Oh, all right.
So, if you want more space than that, it's more intended for documents. But you can buy more space if you do want to have more storage space.
So for your iTunes, that would be best to be done just on your LAN.
Generally, yeah, I have a backup drive on your LAN to copy your files to. I've got like 300 gigabytes of iTunes on my machine at home.
Well, one of the things we were just talking about off the air was you can buy, for example, if you're a Mac person, you can buy yourself a Mac Mini with a half a gig hard drive or a gig hard drive or a 2 gig hard drive or whatever you can afford to put in it.
Half a terabyte.
Half a terabyte. Yeah. Hard drive in it, and put it on your network and make it your time machine.
Their home server. Apple also has their Time Capsule router, which is a wireless router with a backup server built in for network backup.
Oh, all right.
And it works with any computer. It just happens to be from Apple.
Right.
What I've heard the term network drive also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a drive that's not attached to a computer, but attached directly to the network. The reality is it's got its own little Linux computer in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you attach it to the network, and it shows up as a drive on the network.
It will do. Okay. It does do DHCP by default, but you can go in there and readjust it and set it up for your network,
depending on how your network is configured. Yeah. Right. So it's basically it's a hard drive with an Ethernet port. There's new ones now that have Wi-Fi built into them. Wireless is much slower than wired, although it's more convenient to not have to string wires.
Right.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, you can just set it on top of your router, basically, right?
Yeah.
Right, and then you wire it in, and you've got the speed of the wire, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And is there a brand to look for something like this?
Buffalo Drives make...
I like LaCie.
Yep. There's a lot of them out there, yeah. You just look for network drives.
One of the tricks, especially if you're a Mac user, is the protocols the drives use. Most of them use SMB for Windows file sharing. If you're going to use it with a Mac specifically, you want to get one that can use AFP, which is the Mac file sharing protocol. The Macs can connect to a Windows server no problem. It's just that sometimes some types of Mac files don't live well on a Windows server.
Got it. Okay.
So your choices are numerous.
And a lot of the network drives will do all of the protocols. So it's doesn't matter what kind of computer you connect to it.
But one other word of caution I would suggest, it's great having one of those Buffalo drives, that type of thing. But also, I'd get almost two of them.
Yeah, don't rely on that as your only copy of your stuff. You still want a second backup copy.
You want that to back up to another one. And I mean terabyte hard drives right now, just regular hair, are cheap that you could have hanging off of your computer. And what it does is goes up to that Buffalo drive and just backs up, say, every other night or nightly, grabs all those files.
Okay.
Some of the higher end NAS drives will have a USB port on it, so you can plug a second hard drive into it for backup. I just found a neat one from LaCie. I hadn't seen this one before. $200 for 1 terabyte.
Nice. Yeah.
It's got a 4-port a gigabit Ethernet hub built in, Wi-Fi built in, and 2 USB ports for adding more storage.
There you go. What it boils down to is how important your data is. If you were to lose it, how devastating it's going to be to you. So that's where you then spend your money and how much backup and, covering your butt.
Did you say this connects to the network directory?
This is a NAS for $200.
So for $200, you get a terabyte. So you spend $400, 2 different 1-terabyte drives, put them in 2 different places on your network, put them in 2 different places in your house.
Yeah.
You got Wi-Fi, and one can back up directly off the network fast. The other one backs up slower overnight. You don't care.
Yep.
You've got 2 copies of your data in 2 different parts of your house.
Yep. We've talked in the past about the 3-2-1 backup strategy. You should have 3 copies of your data, so the original and 2 backups, on 2 different media, so on a hard drive and maybe on a CD, and one of them should be off-site. So out of your house in case there's a disaster in your house.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break now. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a break. It is 59 minutes after the hour. Remember, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. We've only got about $18,000 left to go. So please give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Remember to say it's for Soundbites. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 59 minutes after the hour. We are the longest running computer show in the known universe, right here with our family at member supported Jazz 90.1.
Sound Bites on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Let me thank the two newest members of the Soundbites family and the Jazz 90.1 family, Anonymous and Matt. Thank you so much, Matt. We can't tell you how much we appreciate what you've done for us. Thank you so much.
Welcome to the family.
It is easy to become a member of the family. All you have to do is give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And all we ask you to do is total up all the amount of money you're spending every year on your computer stuff, the computer you bought, the software you bought, the extra hardware you bought, if you want to add in your internet service, and send us 1%. That's all we're asking. Send us 1%. It's not a lot of money. You know, you spend what, $40 a month on your internet service, and we're asking for 1% of that.
Yeah, what it would cost us to clean up. 1%
of that.
You know, and again, if they become the members, they're then getting the membership card and they get discounts.
1% of that is $48. At $2, you're at the $50 membership level.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is that? 1% of what you spend every year on internet service. Give us a call and make that pledge. It's not that hard. Become a member of the family. Join in, and now you can feel smug. Remember, the whole point of this is that you get to feel smug when we're sitting here asking for people to pledge. You can say, I'm already a member. This is great.
Well, that's when, you know, usually
those other slackers.
I pick it up, and the folks will sit there and, you know, answer the phone, and they say, yep, I'm already a member.
See
and
that?
I was like, great.
There's a pride in that.
Yes, there is. You can hear it in their voice.
You can hear it in their voices. So be proud. Become a member of Jazz 90.1. And remember, it's easy to do. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
Remember when the average computer system was $5,000?
Yes.
Computer, monitor, printer, software.
Dot matrix computer.
Yeah.
It was a monochrome screen.
Yep.
You didn't have a mouse.
Yeah, we used to joke in, you know, the early days, you know, 20 years ago, the average computer system, you know, for businesses we were selling to was $10,000, and you had a 40% margin.
Yep.
And so you could give them a 20% discount, no problem.
Yeah, we used to do that all the time.
Yeah. Now the average computer system is less than $1,000, and you have a 2% margin.
Yep.
And when they put it on their credit card, you lose 2%.
Right.
I loved it at Kodak because we'd get the first IBMs in, and they had dual 5 1/4 inch floppies in it.
Yep. Sure.
And I was the big hero because I was going around at the time putting in either 5 or 10 meg hard cards.
Oh, and people
meg,
were thrilled.
Hard cards.
And that was probably $1,000 for that 5 meg
drive. It was. They were not cheap.
Yeah, those hard cards went in.
And they were fast.
Oh, yes. And being able to not have to put in your floppies.
Yep.
That all they did was put a floppy in if they wanted to save their spreadsheet.
Yep.
But they did have the option to save it onto that hard card.
Yep.
I was like, this is going to be plenty of space. I got more space than I'm going to possibly need, and I don't have to play around with these stupid floppies anymore. I was the hero.
This week was the 30th anniversary of the Osborne 1, for those of you who remember that. Somebody did a great thing. They did an Osborne 1 versus the iPad 2. It was really very, very cute. Very, very cute. All right.
Slashdot. Well, Slashdot talked about it.
Let's see
who actually did. That's one of the annoyances when you're looking at blogs is finding the original source.
Yeah, it's
hard. Because 27 blogs have all quoted the same thing.
Right. The Android market share, by the way, is now one of every three U.S. smartphones. New numbers released by ComScore show that Android-based smartphones are continuing to take a chunk out of the market share of competing devices, eating up 33% of the U.S. market, or one out of every three smartphones sold. RIM was the hardest hit in this latest batch of metrics, dropping 4.6% of its market share between November 2010 and February 2011. The company just still controls 28.9% of the U.S. market, however, which is a far stronger position than its similarly decreasing competitors. Microsoft shed 1.3% of its market share to drop to 7.7% in total. Palm went down 1.1% to a total of 2.8% market share for February of 2011. The indicated numbers are three-month averages, not indications of how well a particular manufacturer did in just 1 month. Nevertheless, February alone provided strong support for Apple, specifically Apple's iPhone 4. According to ComScore, the Verizon iPhone 4 was the most acquired handset in February, and these killer sales helped Apple dig in its heels in the sand against Android Advance. The company even improved its market share by 0.2% between November 2010 and February 2011. Although Google's new lead is impressive, Android jumped up 7% in market share between November 2010 and February 2011. It's important to notice that the numbers only indicated growth in U.S. markets. I believe Android will be stronger in the developing world than it is in the developed world, said Fred Wilson, venture capitalist, principal in Union Square Ventures, in response to the metrics. Most of the growth in smartphones is going to come from the developing world in the next 5 or 10 years. As to why this should spell disaster for Apple at some point in the future, Business Insider's Henry Blodgett notes that it's an issue of strategy. Google's Android growth is only compounded as the market standardizes to a common system, like Microsoft for desktop PCs or Facebook for social networking. If Google is able to provide the de facto operating system for a significant chunk of the market, then developers suddenly have an increased incentive to code Android first and others second. So our question to you, how do you like your phone? Would you like to buy another one? If so, is it going to be an Apple phone or an Android phone? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-529, or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. In a shocking coincidence, that is also the set of numbers that you call to become a member of the family at Jazz 90.1. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org, as our friend Andy did. So thank you, Andy. We appreciate that very much. And now, kiddies, it's that time once again. Grab your footy jam, get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Yep. Actually, today is actually kind of double-edged sword. One, it's good news, and then the other is kind of, oh, disturbing news. Let's go to the good news first. We actually had a listener, and you know her very well, Golda, a number of folks that took our advice and really appreciate it. And what I'm talking about is laptop warranties. Laptops are, you know, almost to the point right now that they're disposable. And I know it's hard to say, you know, when folks sit there and say, but I paid $1,000 for this thing, and, you know, or $1,200, and you're telling me that it's not worth fixing, or, you know, how much it's going to cost to, say, replace the screen and all this other stuff. Yeah, but when you turn around and spend the extra couple $100, because they are laptops, unless it's going to sit right on a desk and nothing, no liquids are going to get near it or anything else, you're going to take very good care of it, then maybe you want to take the chance and not get the warranty. But they are susceptible to breaking down. Thus, it brings me to Lilibelle.
Lilibelle.
She was a little porked off, to be easy to say on the words. Got very upset when we informed her that, oh, her screen was going to cost close to $500 to replace it. Because, oh, yes, it did fall, and it, and I told her again, you know, and I've said this countless times, the fall does not break a computer.
No, it does not.
Fall will never break a computer. It's a sudden stopping with the ground that does it. And when you sit there and let it fall, it slid off the desk and wound up going down, hitting the corner, and it cracked the screen. Oh, it looked like a good mosaic. I mean, I could have done a good, you know, what was those? Stained glass window. I mean, it was really cool. You see the window all broken up. Oh, that was pretty. You know, it was very pretty.
and she's getting all set up. Why is it costing that much? One, it's a 17-inch screen. It's the high gloss, no glare screen, and that's what it is.
Is it a laptop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas if, you had the, the warranty, there's a chance that it might be covered. They'd sit there, there's accidental breakage.
Yeah, a lot of times your homeowner's insurance would cover that, but you usually have a $1,000 deductible.
Yeah, and, they're not going to cover it. So, this is, again, where we can't stress enough. If you're going to take a laptop, and travel around with it like this woman did, there's chances that, it happened to get knocked off the table. The person was upset because, it did fall, but they had it leaning half on the table, half off, and it got down. You're going to take chances like that, then, it's playing Russian roulette. You got to sit there and consider whether it's the extra few, it's usually a couple hundred bucks, whether that investment that you're going to use for presentations and everything else is worth that extra couple hundred bucks just in case something happens to it.
Yeah, if you're one of those people who screams, I can't live without my computer.
Yeah.
You want to add that extra cost to it because it's worth the insurance. It's insurance, what it is.
Well, and the other thing.
Other favorite part, you go on, are the people who complain that there's something wrong with their computer. When you ask them to show it to you with a laptop, they pick it up by the screen.
Oh,
and
yes.
Hand it to you.
I've seen.
I don't know what's wrong with it. I know what's wrong with it. You've overstressed the hinges by grabbing it by the top all the time, and now it's not working right anymore, and it's your fault.
And I've seen a lot of laptops where they pick it up with one hand and squeeze the optical drive slot closed, so they can't get disks in or out.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Some folks can be. Or, like I just had over this past weekend, somebody spill soup.
No soup for you.
No soup for you. We've had beer and wine. We haven't had soup.
Oh, this was chicken noodle soup.
Give it a choice. I prefer beer.
Okay. Oh, do you want to hear something disgusting? We had a college kid.
Do we?
A college kid, after a night of drinking, threw up on
the computer. Oh, no.
Didn't want to tell his parents about it, so he hid it in the closet for a month.
Oh, no.
Then he brought it to us.
Wow.
Apple has different tiers for accidental abuse, and tier 4 is usually the screen is broken, the logic board is broken. We
this
found
must
out
have been a tier 36.
We found out there's a tier 5.
Yeah.
Teenage abuse?
Yeah, it came back in a biohazard bag.
I don't doubt that. That's funny. Sorry, Dave, you were saying. Sorry, I know you do it to me all the time, so I did it to you.
No, that's fine. No, it's just they got to take
responsibility.
They got to take the responsibility because, especially now with these, folks, they're in such a hurry in the laptops. Yes, they are. Unless you got a membrane over it. And what I mean by membrane, it's literally a plastic
keyboard
shield.
Keyboard covers, we sell those.
You put those on it.
We almost won't let a laptop out the door without a keyboard shield.
It's not a bad idea, especially if, I know folks are on the go and everything else. Oh, no, this won't happen.
In fact, I have one on my computer right now.
Sure it is.
You can barely tell. And what's really nice is you can take it off and wash it.
Yeah, right.
Especially with a white computer.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth the insurance. And again, I love helping folks, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but don't shoot the messenger.
And there's nothing you can fix on a laptop that is going to be cheap.
Mm-mm.
There's just nothing, maybe a key.
No, because most of the time you got to replace the whole keyboard.
Right, most of the time you can't even do
that. The hard drive is probably the cheapest thing because that's the only standard thing.
Right, right. Everything else is custom built for that particular model of laptop, and it's going to cost you money. All right, kiddies, that's it for Uncle Dave's Story Hour for another week. Please put your empty hot cocoa mugs in the sink. Get out of your footy jammies. We're going to give Uncle Dave a shot, put him up on the shelf for another week. And that's the end of Story Hour with Uncle Dave.
I found saw an interesting post on a blog this morning. A company called G-Form has a new iPad case coming out, the G4 Extreme. It's apparently made out of this material I don't want to pronounce on the air.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Get the dump button ready.
Their demo shows them dropping a bowling ball on an iPad, a running iPad. They drop a bowling ball on it in this case. They pull the iPad out, screen perfect, the movie's still running.
How much does this case weigh?
I don't know, but it's only $60, which surprises me on how cheap it is for the level of protection you're getting.
Isn't it? There's one for phones that you can put in.
Well, I get a kick out of that. At all the big trade shows, there's this company always showing off their indestructible phones that they market to the construction industry. And, you know, they show them pounding a nail in it or throwing it into an aquarium. And they say, oh, yeah, come on up and test it. Every time, well, of course, that's why it's on the internet. Every time someone comes up and tests it, they break it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy always goes, no, that's okay. We want to see it happen so we can fix it next time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for breaking it.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says it's lightweight. I'm trying to find some specs on it to see. But it looks like it's really thick, rubbery kind of stuff.
It's amazing.
They normally sell bike shoe gel pads, and so it's the rubber thing on the bottom of your shoes.
What
and knee pads and arm pads.
I think, Tough or Gator or something? I forget the name of it. But yeah, there's one that you can put around the phone, and it'll help.
There's several of those.
Yeah, industrial hard.
OtterBox and a couple of
OtterBox makes a couple
of
ones.
Yes, OtterBox. Yeah. That was it.
There you go. Yeah. Some pretty nice stuff out there to protect your investment. But the best way to protect your investment is to get out the extra insurance. There's no question of that.
Well, and one of the things to keep in mind is it's not insurance per se. It's an extension of the warranty.
It's a warranty.
There's two different things you can buy. There's a warranty extension, and that covers mechanical failure of parts of the computer. And then there's insurance that often covers dropping it or losing it. So some people like to get both.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are the longest running computer show in the known universe right here on the truly great and member supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And yes, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And of course, you can always pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And that's your best bet for those of you who are listening to the podcast, particularly those of you who are overseas. I'm talking to you, Sweden and Germany, the United Kingdom, Russia, Finland, Brazil. I'm talking to you people. I know that you download this podcast. I don't know who you are, but I just know what country you come from. That people there are downloading this podcast every week. And there's no reason that you can't also become a member. It's real easy to do. All you have to do is make that pledge at jazz901.org. And in the comments field, tell them it's for Soundbites.
And as I said, there's the slippery slope about these advertisers. You know what country they're in. You can look up their IP address and know who their ISP is, which gives you maybe what city they're in.
Right. I don't do that because we believe in the privacy of our listeners.
And that stuff your computer just reports automatically when you go to a website.
Well, it can't not report your IP address because you have to give it your IP address in order to get the thing you're downloading.
It's got to know where to go back to.
I don't do it for anything else except that I do look at the country just so, you know, I can remind the listeners there.
I mentioned it last night in Soundbites, but This Week in Tech had to give up their live stream on Roku. It was costing them $1,000 a week in bandwidth.
That's amazing.
So now it's you can only download the podcast. So I'm wondering, you know, right now we're using Ustream to do our live stream, and it's free. If you're watching the live stream, it throws a commercial in every now and then.
Right.
Wonder how much that actually costs the other end somewhere.
Clearly, they're making money, or they wouldn't be doing it. But yeah,
one of the other things that I want to throw in, you know, we talk about the membership drive and that going on. One of the other unique things that I've got to slide in here is, great programs like ours comes on. But one other thing that this jazz station does, unlike other jazz stations that are around the country, and there's only, I believe, 8 others available. One of the things that we kind of uniquely do here is have live concerts. And this group was supposed to be here last month, but, you know, we promised that we would get them back. And yes, they are coming. And what am I talking about? The White Hots. White Hots featuring Tina Albright will be here Wednesday, May 4th from 8 to 9 o'clock. And the White Hots are a local group here in Rochester. And if you haven't heard them, you know, go to YouTube. They are fantastic. But if you just save this date, that again is May 4th, Wednesday, from 8 to 9, we are doing a live concert. Yes, it's not any other pre-recorded music or anything else. Jazz 90.1 every month brings you, you know, during the school year, live concerts. And we are having the White Hots come in this month, or this next month, rather, May 4th. So, you know, if you get a chance, put it down in your calendar and listen. From 8 to 9, you can hear White Hots. They are fantastic. And again, it's another reason why you want to be a member of Jazz 90.1, because we do this unique stuff. And the variety of programming that's out there is unbelievable, that you don't find at a lot of other stations.
You certainly don't find sound bites at a lot of other stations.
No, we're exclusively here, and you know, we're darn glad we made the switch. You know, we found a home, and you know, one thing we haven't heard from a lot of our, you know, loyal listeners, and this has been true since we've been here at Jazz 90.1. One of the things they used to always complain about, because we have been on for 21 years, was, you know, I wish there was more of you guys and less commercials. And all this
We don't hear that anymore.
No. I mean, out of 2 hours, I think maybe totally, we take up maybe about 10 minutes in that whole 2 hours for underwriters. And they're supporters of this jazz station. We want to get the word out that, yeah. And those underwriters are also folks that, with the membership card, you can get discounts with.
Yep.
So it's very limited, and there's more chances for you folks to call in and get your computer questions answered and be entertained by us.
Yep.
You know, and we're having fun doing it. The three of us don't get paid for this. I mean, for 21 years, we've been...
Wait, I'm not getting paid?
If you are, I'd like to know about it.
No, I'd like to know about it, too.
I mean, we are here because we love what we do. And the three of us are giving up our Saturdays every Saturday from 12 to 2. And we're coming up on 2 years. It'll be 2 years this June that we've been coming to you every Saturday, you know, except for Christmas and Easter, New Year's there, where it fell on the day, and, oh, we wanted to take some time off, but we still had a program on.
Yep.
We come to you giving you computer advice and taking your computer questions. So we're here 52 weeks, or say 50 weeks for the most part.
Probably 50 weeks a year.
And we'll only come to you twice a year asking you for your help.
Right. And really, the minute you finish pledging, the minute we hit that number, we're not going to draw this out. The minute we hit 50,000, we are done. We get off of the pledge drive, and we just go back to doing the regular programming.
Yeah, and you know, do more story hours and everything else.
So please give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299. Toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Just make sure you put in the comments that it's for sound bites. And, again, as we've been saying, give what you can give, but take a look at what you spend every single month for your internet service. Add it up as a yearly amount, and send us 1%.
That's, you know, all we're asking.
That's all we're asking.
Yep. Such a little. Speaking, again,
if you can send us 10%, that'd be about $50.
Yeah, that'll work.
That's not a lot of money.
Mm-mm.
When you figure what you're getting for our service, it's essentially
jazz 24/7.
A buck a week.
Yeah.
A buck for this show every week. A buck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in England, you actually pay a tax to get a radio. All we're asking you is to pay a tax to keep this show on the air.
And when you go to, you know, if your thing does need repair, you know, there, or you want other services, you can also show your membership card and get additional discounts.
That's exactly right.
I believe, you know, there's so many places on that list. You know, folks, go to jazz901.org and check it out. There are a lot of folks on that list that are member supporters, and, you know, you can get additional discounts with that card. And I've had a number of folks come into my shop and use it. Yeah. And we gladly, you know, and I turn around, and I'll personally come out, and there's been a number of the folks, I personally come out and thank them, you know, because it means a lot to me that when they come in there and say that they're a jazz member, it means a lot to me.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not one of these. You know.
Listen, no matter what else, it's great to be appreciated. So we would like you to appreciate this station by becoming a member. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, or securely online at jazz901.org.
One other thing that before you get into news, I want to talk about that's really going around a lot. And again, this is great information.
Flu?
That too.
Yeah.
Is these rootkit viruses. And because I've had a number of folks say, well, you know, this Security Tango doesn't get them out. Yeah, I haven't found anything yet that will. The only way that I've been able to get these rootkits out is literally taking the drive out of the machine and, you know, putting it in, isolating it. And here's what I mean by this, folks, and it might be a little confusing for you, so I'm going to kind of explain it in simple terms. What the rootkit does is it boots off the hard drive. So it knows when this machine boots up, it first executes that and then goes through the operating system. So it's already in there in the background in what we call a TSR, Terminate and Stay Resident program. So it's in there in memory. So it's kind of running in the background. It'll slow down your machine and it'll do its nasty stuff. So by taking it physically out of the machine, it's no longer the root boot drive. So I can put it on our machine. I run these other tools that I have that I can then point to this additional drive and say, look for these rootkits. And it will remove them. So then once that's done, then I can put it back in the machine. Because usually once you get the rootkit, it lets in, oh, so much other spyware and everything else because that's its job. So then once we get the rootkit out, we can then put it back in the machine and then continue the cleaning of the machine. But it takes, and I know a lot of folks, you know, we've said this countless times. Folks say, well, can't you do it here at my house? And I usually say, well, what are you having for dinner? And you got the spare room ready?
Right.
Because sometimes it can take that long. And especially when the folks will say, well, how long is this going to take? I don't know. My crystal ball is broken. It's out to the repair shop, and they can't give me an answer when it's going to come back. So it's just when it gets done, it gets done. I can't determine, you know, how many files, you know, you could have a 500 gig hard drive, and it could be jam-packed. Others could be half empty. So it determines on how much and how many files it's got to go through. That determines the time. So, again, there's no magic ball that can sit there and give me a definitive answer on that part. It takes what it takes.
Right.
And don't get upset with me. It's your machine.
We're working our best. In fact, if we didn't have to stop and answer the phones, we could be working.
I've had that happen before. I think we all have.
And that goes back to something I said earlier. I don't like talking on the phone. You know, I'll leave nice detailed phone messages for people. And they'll call back and say, someone called me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Okay, listen to the message I left.
Yeah.
Someone called me. Because they just look at their caller ID and, yeah.
Yeah, or they'll call, and because they didn't take the time to listen, again, mm-hmm. This is where that selective hearing goes in place. And they go, what do you mean it's going to do this? You didn't listen to the whole message.
Yeah.
Here's what I said. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, well, if you had listened to, they just, again, hear what they want to hear and then call. And it's like, no, that's not totally what I said. Here's the rest of it. Oh.
And then, I hate to, you know, well, I hate.
Go for it.
at the other end of the service, when you bring your computer in, try to be explicit and specific with your symptoms.
Right.
It doesn't work. Doesn't help us much.
People send me emails all the time because I do the television, the radio. Yeah,
my computer's broken. How long is it going to take to fix?
Right. Yeah. I get this. My machine did something weird. How do I fix it? Or my email stopped working. What happened? Well, I can either spend 20 minutes figuring out what your email program is and then calling you back or emailing you back and then 20 minutes. But you know what? I get so many questions that I don't have time.
Yeah.
I simply don't have time. It's. Sure.
Can you spell your last name for me?
Okay. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, well, my machine stopped working. I get enough emails every week that are explicit that I can answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly for the newspaper column.
That's got to be interesting for you.
Well, it is, but, you know, and I love to help anybody, anytime, anywhere. I love that.
Well, that's why we've been doing it for 21 years.
I haven't got the time. I'm trying to have a life, You know, if I've got a choice of answering a question that's explicit, it's unbelievable, isn't it? A question that's explicit or spending 5, 6, 8 emails dragging information out of somebody, I'll answer the question that gave me all the information I needed.
Well,
that's the way that works. I'm sorry, but I'm only human.
Well, and that goes to the other side of the coin, too, that, you know, the questions are always easy. It's the half hour or so that it's going to take us to explain it to them. And like you say, if there's more information, you could make that time even in half. But when they are so generic, what are you going to do?
That's
like
right.
You say, I'd get frustrated, too. You know, it's unbelievable. Hold on a minute.
Yep. All right. What are we holding them for?
Hold to put them back for.
Oh, here we are. We have somebody who made a pledge. God bless you. And is now about to ask a question. So.
Forgot to ask if he was new or renewing.
Oh, well, we can ask that right now. Hi there. Who's this?
This is David from Henrietta.
Hi, David. Are you a new or renewing member?
No, I'm a new member.
Hey, welcome to the family.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Terrific.
What's your question?
Well, I've got a question again for Steve. I had called in January and hadn't gotten around to the repairs that you guys had described about putting back into my system folders some fonts that were taken out by the application suitcase. And I remember you said to make a bootable external hard drive, you know, a disk. So I used a program called Super Duper. Are you familiar with that, Steve?
Yes.
And that makes a real nice, you know, bootable FireWire external for me. So I've backed up using that just in case. But I have an older backup where the suitcase had done is moved 3 Helvetica fonts out of my system folder and put it in a separate suitcase folder still within the system. Folder, right below the font folder. And so booting from the external disk, I still get an alert when I try to make that move, putting the fonts back. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to throw out that folder that it's not allowed, but there's an authenticate button. And I'm just wondering, is this something I need to bring down to your shop?
Probably not. Helvetica is one of the core system fonts that must be in your system folder for the computer to work properly.
Right.
It's also a very common font for other programs to install. So it's actually very common for people to end up with different versions of Helvetica from different foundries or even different version numbers.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Yeah, the suitcase program tries to address that by trying to eliminate the duplicates in some case. So what's likely happening is that suitcase may still have that folder open, and you need to hit that authenticate button and put in your system password to verify that it's okay to delete. But before you delete it, I would check your system fonts folder and make sure that that Helvetica is still in there. Or if you have other Helveticas, what a lot of people will end up doing is they'll put all of their Helveticas in the system folder instead of trying to have a Helvetica folder in their regular, you know, fonts folder.
Yeah.
That way the system always has that Helvetica, because if you're missing the Helvetica font, the system may not be able to boot.
Well, it has booted, but I just get these error messages, you know, like I'll get some email, you know, from somebody, like an advertiser, and we'll get an alert saying there's a conflict with, like, Helvetica Oblique.
Right.
And go to suitcase to resolve it.
You have that Helvetica Oblique font in multiple suitcases, and it doesn't know which one to use.
Well, you know what it does? It suitcase automatically activates those fonts in that suitcase folder. So I'm wondering if using this bootable, you know, hard drive, I can just replace those back into the system fonts folder and then get rid of the empty then suitcase folder.
Right. And you can do that, but you would then also have to remove those duplicates. And what can happen is, for example, you've got one suitcase that has Helvetica in it.
Yep.
And you've got another suitcase that has Helvetica and Helvetica Oblique.
Mm-hmm.
So when it tries to activate that second suitcase to get to Oblique, it's seeing that there's a duplicate Helvetica, or it may even be the other way around. So somewhere you've got font suitcases that have duplicate fonts in it. And that's what the warning message is giving you. Now, Suitcase should be able to have a, if I remember right, there's a find duplicates command.
Yes.
That will find those duplicate font files.
Okay.
And then you can remove the duplicate. The trick is if they're not exact duplicates. You know, say you've got Roman and bold in one suitcase, and you've got bold and italic in a different suitcase.
Right.
You've got to actually merge those together so you have one suitcase with Roman, bold, and italic.
Yeah, because I do have in, you know, under, you know, my user folder there, the a separate fonts, you know, folder where I've got all of these client fonts that they've given me over the years.
And that's how this usually happens. The client gives you, say, the Bitstream Helvetica. Another client gives you the Monotype Helvetica. Another client gives you Adobe Helvetica. And they're not all duplicate Helveticas, and they're not all the same families or the same same weights in a single suitcase.
But I don't activate those until I need to.
Right.
You know. So you think I could move these from the suitcase font folder that's in the system folder, just move them up into the proper fonts folder for the system, and then get rid of the empty folder?
Yeah, that should be fine.
With the bootable disk, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's easiest to boot with a different disk so you can change the system on your first disk.
Yep, that's what I've done.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think that'll work without a major crash? All right.
That should work.
Yeah, thanks an awful lot. Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Managing fonts is something that's very annoying and very common in the graphic arts world where clients give you so many fonts.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 42 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We're Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 46 minutes after the hour, yes, we are in a pledge drive. As you know, this is a member-supported radio station. All the money we get to run this station comes from members. We don't get any federal government money, state government money, city money, county money, any money. We
school
get
tax
all,
money.
We
happen to be hosted in Greece schools.
And
but
God bless them for that. But the money that comes
money.
To right, the money that comes to support this station and keep it running on a yearly basis comes only from you. So please consider becoming a member of the Jazz 90.1 family, the Soundbites family. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Just, you can do that anytime you want and say that it's for Soundbites, and we will get that pledge. You know, we don't enjoy coming here to do this. We'd rather finish off the drive and get back to doing what we do best, which is just making fools of ourselves in the radio. But we need your help. We can't do it alone. It is you people who help us determine what stays on this station, how much stuff actually goes on. We'd love to have you become a member of the family. Just give us a call and pledge at any level you want, any amount of money you've got, we will take it. If it's $5, we're thrilled and delighted. If it's $1,000, you get to go on a date with Rob. We'll do whatever it takes. Please give us a call. You know the numbers, and we need your help. Now, in the meantime, we talked about this last night in Soundbite and Second Life as well. AdZookie, a free advertising network for mobile devices, said on Tuesday that the company will pay your mortgage if it can paint your house with an ad for the service. The site is taking applications at its Paint My House website, which Steve will put up in a minute. Like AdZookie itself, the promotion is an ad, explained Mark Ozkoris, the company's vice president of marketing. The budget for the promotion is just $100,000, some of which will be used up in painting the houses with advertising and then repainting them their original colors when the customer opts out or the promotion ends. Depending on what happens and how much business it brings back to the site, the promotion may be extended, Ozkoris explained. AdZookie is just one of a growing number of mobile ad networks. One of the largest ad mob is owned by Google, and has tied its ads to in-app advertising in other locations. Apple runs its own, iAd network with other independent competitors like Chalk, Mojiva, and Millennial Media. The ads, however, won't promote AdZookie's clients, just the network itself. According to Ozkoris, Chief Executive Romeo Mendoza was driving home from the company's headquarters in Orange, California, when he was struck by all the foreclosed and bank-owned homes lining the streets. "People are having a hard time out there," Oscura said of the application, which totaled 233 homeowners, 12 businesses, 7 restaurants, and 1 church as of Tuesday morning. Mm. An additional 70 signed up since then, he said. "It's hit a real interesting nerve," Oscura said. "It's a real sensitive subject, making ends meet. Applicants must fill out the form on the Adzuki website explaining why their home should be painted. Not surprisingly, the majority are in financial difficulty, either foreclosure or medical expenses," Oscura said. "Applicants must own the home. It can't be rented or leased. Adzuki will paint the entire outside of the house, minus the roof, the windows, and any awnings, over 3 to 5 days. The applicants must also agree to keep the house painted with the Adzuki ad for 3 months, up to a year's time. After the three-month period, if either Adzuki or the homeowner opts out, Adzuki will repaint the house in the original colors. Sounds like a plan you can get behind. Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. I'd love to have somebody paying my, well, I don't have a mortgage anymore, actually. But when I did, I would have loved to have somebody pay it for a year. Holy mother of pearl.
Yeah, but like on my house, I got a lot of windows.
Well, right. Well, but the point is, you know, they're only going to pick people who are in a high traffic area, highly visible, et cetera, et cetera.
My house isn't bad on the main street there.
It almost looks like a bus wrap.
Yeah, it almost does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the point is, they'll turn... Well, you know what? If your house needs painting anyway,
no.
Would you rather pay to paint the entire house or just the windows?
Yeah, no, I...
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Let them paint the house, add Zuki, add colors, and do all of that stuff, and then when a year from now, they repaint the whole house, and you have to bring somebody in to do the windows?
Wait a minute.
That's a deal, because you haven't even paid your mortgage for a year. Somebody else paid it for you. I'll take that trade all day, every day.
Let me be a devil's advocate here, in that some towns may object to you doing that to your home, even though you own it.
Oh, there's zoning laws and all that stuff that have to be. Yeah, exactly. But that's not the point. The point is that that's got to be all dealt with. But there's somebody out there who's willing to pay your mortgage for up to a year if you'll just paint your house their ad colors.
It works for me. The only reason I know this is because, and without mentioning any names or that type of stuff, but in Irondequoit, there was a particular home that the person was upset because they were rezoned and didn't realize, you know, without their knowledge. And they went to set it up as a business and, oh, no. And they weren't going to let him put it back to the way it was. So to really show his discontent, he painted this house. It had to be at least 6 different, very bright, explicit colors. And I mean, it was a collage. You know, this one, this part was this color. I mean, you could be blind in one eye and couldn't see out the other one, and you'd still run into this house. It was that bright. I think they Nassau saw it.
Yeah.
But they evidently caved into his wishes and reevaluated it, and then he toned it back down to normal colors, have you?
Yep.
But had to do that statement, and that's why I'm wondering, you know, if they came in and made it too loud, whether towns and that would have, you know, because it could cause traffic problems. People going by and staring at the house,
right?
You know, said, bam, slam into somebody else trying to read your house.
Yeah.
It could be interesting. Got to see. Do they have any of the ads up on what they look like?
They just maybe they have an ad on the website that is an ad for Adzuki, and I think that's what they're
is going to look like.
Yeah. See, I like that commercial automatic spray gun, and the guy just goes whoosh over top of the house, and it paints everything perfectly.
Right.
Cuts the trim in perfectly. And
Doesn't paint the windows.
Yeah, he goes up, you know, whooshing all the other houses and painting them too because it's so easy.
Yeah, but I tell you, think about this. If you could get past the town ordinances and somebody paid my mortgage for a year.
Heck yeah.
Wowie.
It's like we've seen people getting tattoos of advertising.
Right.
With a sports figure on camera. Or...
like I'm doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
they're still trying to raise the money. What I'm talking about, folks, is this kind of a side deal. Yeah, I have a number of tattoos, and I belong to the Kiwanis, and they helped us here with it. And I'm sort of in an adventure with them, too, to get another tattoo. So we got to wait and see. You know, if you folks are that curious, email me, and I can explain more. But, yeah, it's a good cause. But, yeah, just it's an addiction. I'll admit it. You know, I've got, what, 9 of them now. Matter of fact, talking about going backwards, one of the tattoos is back from the old computers. My friend Stanley designed the wizard. And he always said, you're a wizard at this. You know, the repairs in it, you make it so easy. And I said, well, you know, it's just fun for me. I enjoy doing it. It's the challenge. And that's why I started the business, because it is so much fun.
There's an interesting show on history, Larry the Cable Guy doing Only in America, and he did a tattoo thing that was kind of neat.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've wasted another 2 hours of our life. I'm sorry, you've wasted another 2 hours of your life listening to this show. We're very grateful that you did. We want to thank all those of you who became members. Polka Guy, Marcia, Anonymous, Matt, Andy, and David, thank you so very much for your generous donations. I cannot tell you how it warms my heart to know that you have joined us. Thank you for becoming a member of the Soundbites family and of the Jazz 90.1 family. It's not too late to sign up online, jazz901.org. Just tell them it's for Soundbites. We'll see you back here next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. George is up next with some great German music, so listen along.
Here are the club.